Blog Talk Radio.
Here we go. This is Dr. Nate Dunlap, and you are listening to the PRF Table. Also sitting here at the table is Mary Ann Williams. Mama, say hello to the people.
Yes, good evening, my PRF family. Once again, we are here to share our knowledge, and thank you so much for taking out your time to be with us this evening. And with that being said, I turn it over to Nathaniel Dunlap this evening.
All right, Mama, all right. Well, listen, we're talking about financial prophecies. This is our subject area for the month. This is what God has given us to talk about. And tonight in particular, we're going to be talking about who's speaking over your finances. Mm. Who is speaking over your finances? And listen, so a couple of thoughts that have come to us, which is, I think, really relevant for this conversation and this dialogue that we're going to be having this month. And I really want people to understand that we're not having this dialogue to give you a prophecy. So I want to put that out there up front. We want to address some questions that a lot of men and women of God actually have. We want to deal with some of the hurt and the pain that they have because of prophecies, especially in this area of finance. And so some of the questions that we want to talk about or deal with, grapple with, wrestle with, disagree with, is really going to be, you know, first of all, have you ever been prophesied to about your finance? What about are you still waiting on it, or did it just not even come true? Do you understand the difference between a prophet and a prophecy? I know that may seem elementary, but it's not elementary to everybody. Everybody's not at the same level of faith, Mama.
Yeah,
are there
some
definite biblical examples that can give you a foundation when it comes to regarding financial prophecies or prophecies regarding your possessions, resources, and finances? What do you do when the prophecy doesn't come true? Uh-oh, that's a big one. Is there someone, now this one's going to cause a little bit of
anxiety.
It's going to cause a little bit of anxiety in some folk. Maybe not none of us here at the PRF table, but for some folk, it's going to cause a little anxiety. So let me just go ahead and put it out there. Is someone prophesying to you, or are they prophet lying to you? Prophet, and I put that in quotation marks. Did the prophet miss the mark? Or did you fail to listen and do your part for God's prophecy to manifest?
Mm, yes.
Mama, this is just where we're starting. There's going to be more questions that come up that will get posted on one of our social media networks, whether it's the Facebook page, prfministry.org, or whether it's on our website, excuse me, or our Facebook page, facebook.com/PRF. So listen, we know this is where we're going to start. We have no idea where this is going to end, Mama. And so we know Adia is joining us this evening. So before we get started on the show, we definitely want to give her an opportunity to say something to the people.
Good evening, everyone. It's good to be on the show. Definitely looking forward to this topic, because we, you know, realize that there's a lot of prophecies that go forth. And I would like to just say, one of the things that I have learned about prophecy is that, you know, God always deals with the individual. He's dealing with the individual in reference to whatever the prophecy topic is. And so I'm really excited about tonight's show. I do have some things that I like to share, but I'll definitely speak that piece as we get into the show a little bit more. So glad to be here and glad to just to learn and to be able to hear and to receive what is going to be said on tonight. So thank you very much, Nate.
Amen. So listen,
Amen.
We really want this to be where it is not just us doing all the teaching. We are very fortunate that people allow us the opportunity to teach in these various areas that God gives us to speak about here on the PRF table. But we really want people to call in and give your thoughts, your concerns, your questions regarding the topic that we're dealing with tonight, because the reality is everybody worships in different places. Everybody watches different things on television. Everybody watches different things on the internet. And so the thing that you can't do, you can never unring a bell, right? Once you hit that bell, ding 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 ding, that bell has been rung. You can stop it, but it has already ran. And so here's my thing. My thing is, we want you to be in a position that when God's word comes to you, that you have enough of a biblical foundation to be able to discern and see what is actually out there, right? Because, Adia, as you alluded to, there's a whole lot of prophecies that have gone forth. I've even, I don't know if I can say received them, but I've received some, I've rejected others, you know. Why not talk about that? Why did I reject that particular prophecy? It goes back for me, you know, understanding the difference between a prophet and a prophecy. Do we get all wrapped around the axle on one way or the other because of who it is actually giving the prophecy? So I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but Mama, Adia, what's your thoughts? Let's just start there. What are some of your thoughts, some of your questions, or some starting points based upon your own experiences in this area?
Okay. Well, I've been mostly prophesied about my about the ministry that God has given me. And for the most part, it has come to pass. When it comes to finances, I have been prophesied, and not a whole lot, but the prophecies that was given to me, they've come to pass, but not overnight. Not overnight. I found out that in my walk is that if I'm not in the right position with God, then that prophecy is not going to come through. I was prophesied 20 years ago, and in the last, I don't know, maybe 10 years, I started seeing it come forth. So I would say it could be because I wasn't where I needed to be, you know, and I needed to grow more, get a closer relationship with Jesus, you know. Don't lean on hearing when someone comes to town or come to church or whatever, you know, and they're well known. Don't get so, oh my gosh, wrapped up in the person who's giving the prophecy. Make sure that, you know, I go to God and say, God, you know, is this? You know, is this really yours? Is this what you really saying for me to do? And I've had some that said, and I knew that I would, I knew that was not what God wanted me to do. And so you do have to really discern what you're hearing. And for the most part, and especially when I was just coming into the Lord, in, you know, oh, people, you know, we were just wrapped up. Like you said, we just get wrapped up. Oh, my gosh, you know, that's coming. You're so wrapped up in it, you know. And when we get to that level, you know, we just get so wrapped up. Anybody can tell you anything, and you believe it. Because you're so wrapped up in it's coming from the person, but is it coming from God? And God will confirm. And sometimes in some of the areas that I needed to grow in, so that, you know, God is not a God wanting to waste. I'm just putting it in my own words, just waste his word. So why should he put me in a position when I'm a babe? And I have, you know, I'm just learning to read the Bible, you know. So that's have been my, you know, experience. And I don't get prophesied too much anymore. I don't have people coming giving me a word. And I used to have that, you know, when I was young in the Lord. I mean, oh my gosh, she says, come, you know. But as I begin to get close, get a better relationship with the Lord, you know, and leaning on him, as the word say, trust in the Lord, not man. He says, trust in the Lord with all my heart. He said, acknowledge him in everything. Don't lean on my own understanding, and he shall direct my path. So a lot of times when we're allowing man to direct ourselves because of, like you say, we are all at different learning curves, you know. And so that's why it's just very important to, you know, I just go to God and say, God, you know, now, you know, I don't get prophesied too much. But then it's other things that, you know, pop up in my mind. And then I say, okay, God, I'm not moving on it because I'm not really getting a confirmation. I'm feeling comfortable with whatever's coming into my mind that the enemy say I need to be doing, you know. Amen.
I just wanted to share a couple of things. As far as, you know, prophecy and, you know, over the finances, and I guess some of the things that, you know, that I think about or that comes to my mind are like, okay, Lord, the time, things that I thought about, you know, am I ready? When will I be ready so that I can, the prophecy comes to pass, just the preparation and really trusting God with that prophecy. And then, you know, I don't know what other people think, but I know for myself, I've always wondered, because I'm like Aunt Mary, like, okay, I've never really been one to receive a lot of prophecies, but when I have received them, it was just like, okay, God, this is, I already knew where I was because I had my relationship with God. He's already showed or spoken those things to me. And sometimes it may have been just, you know, a nugget, if I can use that word. And then when someone else comes along, it confirms it. So the question that I have is, does God give the individual the prophecy first before he gives another person the prophetic word to give the individual? Because my experience has been that God has already been dealing with me in that area, and someone else will come along and speak it, you know, and it's just like, thank you, God, for me knowing that what I heard was exactly what was just said to me. So I know, you know, Aunt Mary talked about the confirmation. That's how my prophetic words have come, even when it's been with dealing with finances. God has always dealt with me first. But I will tell you, those are some, what I mentioned earlier are areas that I have, that I have looked at, that I have, you know, pondered upon and just thought about, and also making sure that I'm in the right place as well. I'm currently reading a book that Earl mentioned a couple of months ago, and I will tell you, some of the stories that's in that book has really just helped me with my faith. Like, I'm excited. Like, there's this fire on the inside of me that is ignited to where I am looking, I'm so looking forward to every word that God has spoken in my life concerning my finances, you know, and what is going to be used for. Not just, it's not just for Adia, in her household, but it is to impact the community, to impact so many people. And so those are just some of the things that I had, and I'll just kind of tie back up so, you know, if it takes us somewhere. But it's the time, me being ready, the preparation work that it takes, trusting God, and also just basically saying, you know, can or does God need to use someone else when he's already spoken a word to me? And when that does happen, what is that really, you know, how do we define what that is? Is it just a prophetic confirmation, or is it just a confirmation? And that's pretty much what I want to add at this time.
Oh, my goodness. Y'all just came out the gate with, like, whew. Well, listen, I don't want to necessarily try to respond to everything that both of you have said. If God gives you something as we continue on throughout this night, feel free to bring it up. But one of the things that I did hear that was a common factor, if you will, between both of your thoughts on this subject was the thing about time. And for me, I'm thinking that we probably need to deal with this whole notion of time when it comes to prophecy. There's going to be one scripture or one section of scripture, Genesis 41 and also Genesis 47, and that deals with it deals with time, but there's a whole lot more in that scripture. But I want everybody just to get that one, not just for tonight's show, but for the other shows that we're going to have. One of the things that I heard Mama say something in your you said something in your comment, Mama, about, or maybe I said about getting wrapped around the axle about the individual. Well, I mentioned earlier, there's a difference between a prophet and prophecy. A prophet is the office, right? It's the office that somebody has, that God has given them. It is a gift, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It is a gift that God has given to the church. So if God has called you, whoever is listening, to be a prophet, then that person needs to understand that they are a gift to the church. They are just as much as a gift to the church as a pastor is a gift to the church, as an apostle is a gift to the church, as a teacher, praise God, is a gift to the church.
Amen.
As an evangelist, Mama, as an evangelist, is a gift to the church. But that word, the word prophet, means a spokesman. It means a speaker. So when you take that into context, you say, okay, some folks think that because somebody has spoken a word that they are in that office. And we have to let people know, everybody does not operate the office of a prophet just because they're able to do and give a prophecy. See, sometimes people get wrapped up in our people gifts, pastor, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, and think because we hold, for example, the pastor position, the position of pastor, the office of a pastor, the job of a pastor, that I'm supposed to be able to give you the word. Well, yeah, I should be able to do that. But that doesn't mean that I speak as a prophet. That doesn't mean I'm speaking with prophecy. Does that make sense? And when you're looking to receive a prophecy from somebody just because they have some office, you could be going down the wrong road, because then you put too much trust in that person's office versus the gift. It is a big difference. So I want people to know that up front. Everybody who speaks with authority or speaks loud or speaks with conviction and says, this is what thus says the Lord, Joker, that does not mean that that person is a prophet.
Amen.
Amen.
Here's how I'm going to know that you're a prophet. One is, if you say that you're a prophet, just because you open your mouth and you say, thus say the Lord, doesn't mean that I'm going to automatically attach that office to you. But a lot of folks have done that. And on the same token, there are some individuals who, have said, I am a prophet. And see, listen, look, we got to be real with this thing. So many Christians follow Paul, right? More Christians talk about more about Paul than they do about Jesus, because we're all Paul, or it had, because Paul has written or it has been attributed to his to him writing so much of the New Testament. But Paul said, I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ. Ain't nobody ordained him. That's what he said.
Yeah.
You don't see no commission in service. You don't see no deacon ordination. You don't see none of that. He says, this is who I am. And so I'm not questioning that office. If you say that you're a prophet, no problem. Now, here's the deal. A prophet prophesies. A prophet doesn't teach.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness, I'm stepping on some toes. Mm-hmm. A prophet doesn't teach. A prophet prophesies.
Mm-hmm.
A prophet doesn't evangelize.
Mm-hmm.
A prophet prophesies. An evangelist evangelizes. A teacher teaches, a pastor pastors. So I pray that the people who are listening start thinking and start asking God, show me if this person claims to be a prophet. Show me that they are a prophet.
Amen.
Versus just accepting everything. And I and we're talking about prophecy, but we can go the same thing with teachers, because the Word of God tells us there's false teachers.
Yeah.
I know some pastors that are excellent. Well, I know some pastors who are excellent teachers. I'm talking about teach that thing up and down, back and forward, but piss poor as a pastor, piss poor as a man of God, but can teach that word. So everybody should just come to that point of their life where they say, God, I need you just to show me who is who. Because when that thing comes, you know, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. The enemy's slick. The enemy knows when God's people have itching ears.
Yes. Amen.
And the Bible talks about false prophets, just like it talks about false teachers. So you got to have some foundation to be able to know who's who.
Amen.
Amen.
I mean, let's just call it what it is. And I'm not saying focus so much on the person, but you can tell a tree by the fruit that it bears, right? So if you are a prophet, I'm looking at your fruit, bruh. And the fruit is the prophecy. Not your elegant speech. Man, please. I can hear a prophecy from a stuttering person operating in his gift and office of a prophet. That doesn't mean that it is any less important, or it's not even valid. It doesn't mean any of that. If it's from God, it's from God. I'd rather deal with the gift versus what it sounds like. I'd rather deal with the gift versus what it looks like. Because there's some folks that God will use in that office of a prophet, but because they don't do certain things like the pastor, we can't accept that. Get rid of that foolishness today. I'm telling you, get rid of it. And what God does, y'all, to expose himself through a gift that he has chosen as to give that gift to, I'm talking about men and women. When God does that, he's doing it to bless people. He's doing it to warn people. He's doing it to help his people get on the right track. Or maybe he's saying something through that person to keep us on the right track. Because y'all know we hard-headed sometimes.
Yes.
Y'all know we don't want to listen sometimes. So that's my little expose on a prophet and a prophecy. Again, that person, that individual, you have to have the gift of prophecy. It's a gift. You have to have it if you're calling yourself a prophet. And let me say this, and please, y'all jump in. What it also reflects is this. Just because I have the gift, if I'm a prophet, if I occupy that office, and I have the gift of prophecy, doesn't mean I'm always going to have a prophecy for you when you want it.
Amen. Amen.
Can we be real with this thing? The prophecy right? Or prophesying is the gift of communicating, and it's communication, right? And it's also something that enforces the revealed truth about something, something that God wants revealed in His truth. So the title of what we're talking about this month is Financial Prophecies. Where is the truth in some of the financial prophecies that some of our men and women of God have heard over the years? God's going to bless you with this. Where's the truth in that? What is it revealing? Here's what I want us to focus on. I want us to deal with this time thing. And I look at it like this. If we're going to deal with prophecy, then all prophecies happen in time, in season, right? Think about it. Mama, where you're at, you told me assume it where you're at right now in North Carolina. Adia, what's the weather like over there? Hot?
It's about 85 degrees. Not too hot today. Had some
not
clouds.
Too hot.
A little rain.
Okay. We have four seasons, right? Winter, spring, summer, and fall. Depending on where you are in America, it may be summertime, it may be June, whatever, and it still may be snow on the ground in another part of the country. You can't force the seasons to do what you want the seasons to do. There's some timing with that thing, and it's the same thing with prophecy. So if a prophecy is a prophecy from God, see, you can prophesy, but we ain't talking about anybody just prophesying. We're talking about prophesying from God through that gift. Then we have to believe that it's going to be on time. It's going to be in the right time. And I'm going to tell you something. You don't want something out of season when it comes to God. You want it in the right season.
Amen.
If you want something to happen when you want it to happen, that don't say nothing about God. That says everything about you. And Mom, I think you mentioned about being positioned. Or no, maybe I think Adil, you mentioned about being positioned. Well, if the prophecy is supposed to come in the fall, say September, and I'm waiting for the prophecy to come true because I want it to happen in the summer, what does that look like? Where is that foolishness at? When God gives a prophecy, it's going to happen in the season that He says is going to happen in. Period. It's no question about it. It's going to happen in the right season. And Adia, to address your point about being prepared and positioned, as we look at Genesis chapter 41, we'll see how that even becomes even more important. So God's prophecies are going to be in season, in the right season. Wherever it's supposed to happen, it's going to happen in that time. You can't change when God's prophecies are supposed to happen because it's taking too long, because you're uncomfortable. And watch this. You're not going to change it because you want it to happen because you ain't ready right now.
Amen. That's good.
Got a family member right now, a family member that God was going to do some great and marvelous things with this family member this week. This family member wasn't ready to move right now. You know what I told this family member? Look, bruh. You think that God is going to have what He has waiting on you this week when you get ready. Sometimes you can miss the boat. It got to be God's timing. If it ain't in God's timing, I don't really want it. I don't want it. I shouldn't want it. Sometimes I get in my flesh too. I'm like, you know what? I want it right now. Let's be real with it. Sometimes I want stuff right now. I wanted the registrations to come in on the 17th of May. For the conference on Saturday. I wanted it right now. But if a prophecy is truly from God, then I'm going to be looking for it to be in God's timing. And here's the thing with that. God's timing means it may not be convenient for you and I, Mama.
Right.
God's timing may mean, with his prophecy, Adia, may mean that it may not be for me, or it may not be for you. God can give a prophecy to his people, but to the group, but it may not be directly for me. If everybody's just received wanting everything to be about them, then you are operating under the wrong spirit. And if we're talking about God's timing, again, trust me, it's going to happen at the appointed time, whether you want it to or not. It's God's timing. It's not my timing. So, two scriptures that I want us to just keep in our mind. One is Isaiah 55:11. If we're talking about God's prophecies, if it is the Spirit of God that is prophesying that prophecy to us, then it's going to be in season, it's going to be in God's timing, and it's going to be foundational to his word. Isaiah 55:11 says, "So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it will accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." What?
Hmm.
We hear that a lot of times coming from the pulpit, referring to the messages of God when I'm preaching, going out to a congregation. But what was Isaiah? He's a prophet.
Yeah.
So you have this prophet saying, every word that this word that comes out, it's not going to return. It's not what God sends out. It's not returning back to him void. It's going to accomplish the purpose and for which God pleases it to flourish, and it will prosper in whatever that thing is where God sends it. So if God sends a prophecy from me to you, that thing's going to come to pass if it's God. And then the other scripture is John 10, verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So you shouldn't have to try so hard. Yeah. One faith. We're operating by the same faith. We should be operating by the same faith, operating by the same spirit. So if you're in your flesh, you may not be able to hear his voice. You may not even be able to receive that prophecy if you're in your flesh. If you're looking at who it is that's giving the prophecy, that ain't my pastor. If you listen to some pastor say, no, you need to only listen to me. Okay. My sheep hear my voice. It don't say the sheep hear my pastor, your pastor voice. It says my voice. You better listen to what God is saying. Better listen to what the Spirit of God is saying.
Yes.
Better take into consideration what is Jesus saying about what we're dealing with. So those two scriptures, that's God's word. If it goes out, it's going to do what it's supposed to do. But somehow we don't always, it don't always happen like that, right?
Okay.
It don't always happen like that.
Mm-hmm.
So what is a way that we can try to recognize a prophecy being in the right timing? Because again, that's where both of y'all were at, talking about timing. Deuteronomy 18. Let me try to find that real quick. Or if somebody else finds it, that's fine.
Okay.
But Deuteronomy 18, whoever gets to us first.
Okay, I have it.
What does verses 15 to 22, if you will.
Okay.
Deuteronomy 18, 15 to 22.
15. Okay. One moment while I'm over here. Okay, just a minute. I had it. Deuteronomy 18, 15, right? 22. Okay. All right. It says, "The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken, according to all that thy desires of the Lord, thy God, and Horeb, and the day of the assembly, saying, Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord thy God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, They have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth." Hallelujah. "And he shall speak unto them all that I shall command." I'd just like to read that again. He says, "I will raise them." That means God says, "I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren." That's the gift he's going to put upon them. "Like unto thee." And then he said, "I," that means Jesus, "I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him." Amen.
All right.
That's...
Now, that was God saying that. That's what God told Moses. And then he goes on and says, "But any prophet who falsely claims to speak in my name or speaks in the name of another god must die." Listen, you out there claiming that you are a prophet, that right there, that verse 20, that should put somebody in check. Falsely claiming to speak in God's name, I don't even see it strongly worded like that about pastors in the New Testament. So this thing about prophets and prophecy is serious. You're a spokesperson for God. Okay. But it goes on to say, but you may wonder, how will we know whether or not a prophecy is from the Lord? That's the million-dollar question. Well, here's the answer. If the prophet speaks in the Lord's name, but his prediction does not happen or come true, you will know that the Lord did not give that message. That prophet has spoken without my authority and need to be feared. I'll say that again like you, Mama. If the prophet speaks in the Lord's name, but his prediction does not happen or come true, you will know that the Lord did not give that message. That prophet has spoken without my authority and need not be feared. You don't have to worry about that. Because, see, all prophecies were not about abundance and about good things, so to speak, right?
Right.
Some of the prophecies that the prophets gave were, "Thus saith the Lord, this is what's about to happen to you."
Okay.
So if somebody, think about it. I surely would love to know if that prophet is speaking and know that they are not speaking of the Lord, and then they come to me with, "You know what, you're about to die. Man, let's go to 2 Kings chapter 20, right? Here's what the Lord says, get your affairs in order, so you shall surely die." It would be good to know that that ain't God speaking through that prophet. But if I take that, and that ain't what God has said, and I take it, then now I may be living in that fear, "Oh my goodness, I got to do this. Mm-mm. God's like, "No, pump your brakes. You ain't got to fear somebody that's speaking without his authority." I don't know about y'all, but that sets it apart for me. That sets it way apart for me. God has the answer. So when it comes to God speaking, before we had these what we have as far as this Bible, where it's written, the Logos Word of God, everything was the spoken word of God. It was the rhema word of God, spoken through the Spirit. And this is how prophecies today are being put out to people. I mean, some people write them down as well. But most of the time when you go to a church and they're flowing in a prophetic, they're not reading from a book of written down prophecies. They're coming directly from that individual to you or to us. So let's, y'all talk to me. Somebody may be waiting. Dear Mama, what's your comments so far?
Well, you know, the Bible tells us, the Word of God tells us, don't be anxious for anything. And when, you know, we allow ourselves, you know, to just elevate people, you know, we elevate a pastor, we elevate this, you know what I'm saying? This is how another way that we can get caught up in that also. Because, you know, we set this person, in my words, up on a pedestal, and everything that comes out of their mouth is, you know, really just coming from, has to be coming from God. But that's because we've set ourselves up to put our trust in man and not God, because he wants us, he wants all our attention. He wants to be first. And he's a jealous God, and he says, put no one above, no one in front. No one gets his glory. See, because God's supposed to get the glory out of everything. And so if he's not getting the glory out of, you know, this false prophecy that's coming forth, and then the person is wondering why nothing's happening, you know, and this is what this person tells me, well, then that's another way that we can be led astray, because we ourselves, you know, it's depending on man. And sometimes people don't even realize that they're doing that, but, you know, they're depending on man. You know, this is what this person said. This person said that. And every time this person says something, it's right, it's right. Okay, that's what you say, that's fine. But we all know that no one is perfect, and we all don't say. Sometimes we're in our own emotions when we say things, you know, and as you have said, the enemy can use us. Now we can become a spokesman for the enemy. Amen.
We're talking about financial prophecy. We're just setting it up right now. We're just general information about prophecies and looking at what the Word of God says. So many people, Mama, to attach on to what you just brought up, so many people have been led astray through prophecies regarding their finances that have not come true. And that's sad.
Yes.
I'm going to be bold, and I want you to be bold, those of you who are listening. If somebody declares a prophecy over you regarding your possessions, your resources, and your finances, you have my permission to ask one question: when is it going to come to pass? When is it going to come to pass? Because, see, we just read in the Word of God in Deuteronomy 18 that if it does not come true, then they're not speaking on their own authority. So I say to you, oh, the word of the Spirit of the living God said unto me, Sister Marianne, you're going to have new keys to a car. I see new keys to a car.
Oh, wow.
and Marianne's, because her car just got fixed or because it just broke down, she's like, oh, you know what? I received that because it's something that she wants.
Yes.
How long are you going to wait on that new car?
That's right.
Yeah.
And
When does God give half prophecies?
Never.
I don't know no scriptures where the prophecy was a half prophecy. There are times, watch this, there are times when God has said to do something where he didn't give the whole plan, right? When he called Abram and told him to leave and go, he didn't give him a plan. He said, go to the place I'm going to show you. All right? But see, that wasn't a prophecy. That was God speaking directly to Abram.
Giving him instruction. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was giving him instructions. He was giving him a command. So, go ahead, Adia. Did you have something? I'm sorry.
Well, I was, and it was just, you know, based on what Aunt Mary and yourself was saying, as far as, like, the prophecy. And I love the question that you, you know, said to ask. So I guess when it comes to financial prophecies, I will, and I think I probably shared this before, but I remember as a kid at church, this man came and preached at our church, and he was like, you know, you got people that be running, tearing the church up, the floors, people's shoes and feet, you know, because they just got a word that God is getting ready to bless them with a new house, and they get to shouting and running and praising God, or he getting ready to bless them with a new car, or getting ready to bless them with money, you know. And I just remember that message that he spoke, and I just remember saying, you know, well, shoot, what happens, you know, if they don't get that new house, you know. And people get so lost in the word that I think a lot of times they never go back and seek God to say, okay, God, I've gotten this word. Where do we go from here? You know, Father, show me, if this word is your word, then what do I need to do? Because there's a requirement. You know, if your credit is not in order, and I did just go there, then you got a prophecy that you're going to get a new house. Well, you're not getting no new house without your credit, unless somebody getting ready to outright buy the house for you and pay it in cash. And God can't do that. But that would have to be, and I may be wrong, a part of the prophecy. Or maybe it is the faith part to where that is going to happen. But at the time, it is not, you know, maybe fully revealed. I don't know. I just also look at the fact that, you know, you hear people just talk about, you know, the money money part of financial prophecies, you know. But if you haven't been a good steward,
amen.
I know for a fact, you know, I used to be like, oh, God, if you bless me with this large amount of money, I'm going to do this, this, and this. And then I would get a large amount of money, and I wouldn't do this, this, and this. You know what
That's
I'm saying?
Right.
So it was just like, you know, are we really sure? And so I guess some of, you know, just the 2 points or the 3 points that I was thinking about is, what do you do with the prophecy? And I really think it takes, you know, that individual to seek God. To seek God in his word, like how we did with Deuteronomy chapter, was that 22 or 18 and 22? To seek God, to understand what a prophecy and what that prophet, you know, what it really, what their duties and responsibilities entails when it comes to the word that God has given them. Because it is a prediction. It's predicting something in the future. But if the person's faith isn't there, if they really don't trust God, if all of certain things are not in place, then if prophecies are coming, but the person is not prepared or not even ready to receive, because, you know, maybe they only read their word, only pray like once a week, what we working with? And I mean, I know that might be a little bit, that might be, seem to be like it's too much, but I want to be in the right place so that if there's something that's required of me to do, that I'm ready to do it, that I know that I can do it, and I'm not wavering back and forth. So then it goes on to, what's the work that's required? I just, you know, there's an action behind it. And then, what did I write? I wrote something down. I can't even read my handwriting right now, so we're not even going to worry about that. It says something about, what is God doing? I don't know what it says, but those are just things that I just two areas or two and a half, since I can't think of the other one, you know, that I think is very important as a foundation. Because you can get a word that you're going to get a house, you can get a word that you're going to going to get a new car, that God is going to, you know, bless you with a specific amount of money. Okay, well, now that you have that word, like, are you just sitting, do you just go back home, and do you just start waiting on all this stuff to happen, not realizing that it requires you to do something? It requires you to, you know, you're going to get that new house. There's a requirement for you to make sure that everything is in order. You got to get pre-approved.
Mm-hmm.
God, you know, he's not going to give you something that's outside of what you can afford to pay. So if you can't afford a $2,000 mortgage, don't you even look at that house that costs that much.
Mm-hmm.
You have to know these. You know, there's a certain level of responsibility and wisdom and knowledge and education and planning that has to go with the prophecy. I guess that's what I'm trying to say.
Yes, yes. And I was just going to add.
Go ahead.
I was just going to add that, you know, faith without works are dead, and Nate was saying to me, you know, you have to go after it. You know, and you don't sit and wait and by doing nothing. You have to do something. I mean, you can have faith, but then, you know, I think character is very important also, you know, because we could have some character flaws, you know, or someone can prophesy, you know, say a teacher, secular, a teacher, and then, but she has no patience. And then someone comes and give her a word to say, you know, you're going to be, you know, having your own daycare center, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, but she has no patience with children. So why would God give her a big daycare center where she's going to 9 out of 10 because it's going to be, I mean, she's going to be running, and that means it's going to take patience, patience with the staff, patience with the parents. But she really has a low tolerance, you know. So it's character plays a role there too, but, you know.
Well, let me bring it back, because see, what I'm hearing is, I hear you, and I get what y'all are saying about our positioning, but our positioning has nothing to do with God's prophecy. See, God's prophecy is his prophecy all by itself. It don't have nothing to do with if we're in position, if we're not in position. Now, if God says, for example, if God says you're going to get a new car, then you're going to get a new car. How you get a new car is not the prophecy. The prophecy is that you're going to get it. So you're looking for how is that thing going to come to pass, or when that thing is going to come to pass. And when you look in Genesis 41, because, again, I don't want people to think that they got to do this, that, and the other to get the prophecy, because so much of people's mindsets, I believe, is on what we got to do. And it's not always about what we got to do. Let's focus our attention on what did God say was going to happen. And if God said it's going to happen, then we have that expectation that is going to come true because God said it. And we got to be willing to just decipher folks that are saying stuff out of their own spirits, out of their own mindset, out of their flesh, versus what God is saying. And in Genesis 41, Pharaoh, he dreamed about some cows. There were 7 scrawny cows and 7 fat cows, if you will. And the scrawny cows came up and ate the 7 fat cows. And then he wakes up. Then he fell asleep again, had another dream. And then it was a dream about some grain that was on a stalk. And then some bigger heads came, and then they shriveled up and they were withered away. And then the thin ones, the thin grains, they swallowed up the larger grains. Similar type of situation, just two different instances, if you will, because there was 2 different dreams. It's the day he wakes up in the morning, then his was crazy. He calls together the magicians, he calls together the fortune teller, he calls again those who are supposed to be the wisest in Egypt. He's telling them about his dream, but none of them can give an interpretation of what the dream is about. So I'm just going to fast forward. But then he calls for Joseph. Joseph didn't believe he had the power to do it, but he actually did. Joseph gives him the interpretation of the dream. He says this in verse 25. He said, both of Pharaoh's dream means the same thing. God is telling Pharaoh in advance what he is about to do. So a prophecy is a foretelling of something that God is about to do. Notice that it says what God is about to do, not what you had to do in order for what God say he's about to do to come true. And then it goes on to talk about the seven healthy cows, the seven healthy grains, heads of grain. They represented prosperity. The seven scrawny cows, the seven thin heads of grain that got withered away, they represented famine. And then he says, this is going to happen just as I've described it, for God has revealed to Pharaoh in advance what he's about to do. The next 7 years will be a period of great prosperity throughout the land. Afterwards, there will be 7 years of famine, so great that all the prosperity will be forgotten in Egypt. Famine will destroy the land. This famine is going to be so severe that even the memory of the good years is going to be erased. And as for having similar dreams, it means that these two events have been decreed by God. He will soon make them happen. Now, that takes it to where y'all were. Right then, here's what God said is going to happen. They just got to believe that what God says is going to happen is going to happen. He says soon. So you got to, I mean, y'all tell me if you think I'm wrong, but to hear something like that to say soon, I don't think that his soon in this context was going to mean like within the next 30 years. I think it was like, okay, this thing is really about to happen. And so what happens is he goes on and says, therefore, Pharaoh should find an intelligent and wise man and put him in charge of the entire land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh should appoint some supervisors over the land and let them collect one-fifth of all the crops during the 7 good years. Have them gather all the food produced in the land in the good years that are just ahead. So he's giving them some resemblance of time. He's not leaving it out there in the open. He's saying it's just ahead. He said, and bring it to Pharaoh's storehouses. Store it away, guard it so there will be food in the cities. That way there will be enough to eat when the 7 years of famine come to the land of Egypt. Otherwise, this famine will destroy the whole land. So now, after the interpretation of the dream is communicated, now you have Joseph saying, you got to put something in place. That's where you're at, Mama. That's where you're at, Adia. Now, after you receive the prophecy, you got to put something in place. And when you keep on going, and I know we're getting down to the end, but when you get over to chapter 47, it picks back up, and it talks about, and this is now they're in the actual famine now. So they had their 7 years of plenty, and now they're in their famine time. It said it became so severe, verse 13, that all the food was used up, and people were starving throughout the lands of Egypt and Canaan. By selling grain to the people, Joseph eventually collected all the money in Egypt and in Canaan, and he put it in Pharaoh's treasury. When the people of Egypt and Canaan ran out of money, all the Egyptians came and said, our money is gone, they cried. Please give us food or we'll die before your eyes. When you keep on reading this, and you go down to like verse 26 says, then Joseph issued a decree still in effect in the land of Egypt that Pharaoh should receive one-fifth of his crops grown in his land. Only the land belonging to the priests was not given to Pharaoh. Meanwhile, the people of Israel settled in the region. They acquired property. They were fruitful. Their population grew. Jacob lived there for 17 years after he got to Egypt. Saying all that to say, this is one of those perfect examples, a whole PRF-related situation. You got resources there, you got possessions there, you got finances. And what God said was going to happen actually came true. If I'm, and this is my only point, if I'm able to read in the Bible an example of one of the first prophecies from God, and I can see that God said it, it came true, then why should I ever believe you as a prophet, Mama? if what you're saying never comes true.
That's right.
Where's the biblical foundation in that? If we're supposed to be going by this Bible, where's the foundation? Hold on. There's a prophecy. Came true. But what you say, and see, that's why folks got to be careful about these prophetic, some of these prophetic church encounters, these prophetic conferences and all this kind of stuff. I'm just saying you better be careful. Because if it's 200 folk in there and you done gave prophecy to 200 folk, then there should be 200 prophecies that have come true. So how about we test the spirit by the spirit? How about we bring those same 200 people back? And we ask a question. The prophecy that I gave you, if your prophecy came true, raise your hand. But we never find out if it happens to be true or not. And this causes folks to say, you know what, I'm not going to believe in that because of the person that stood up before them and said, this is what thus says the Lord. We got a prophet. Somebody prophesied over us one time. And so, you took it. You say, hey, if you said you're a prophet, that's fine. They said, I see new keys. They said that to my wife. I said, I see a new set of car keys in your hand. Mama, let me tell you, when that prophecy came to us,
yes,
we already knew that we had to get another car because we were giving our car to our daughter a month later. So we already knew we had to get another car. But he ain't telling us nothing we ain't know. That was already in the works.
And see, Nate, That's what I was getting to, because that has been my experience. You know, God spoke a word to me when I was in college. And right now, you know, I'm just like, okay. I've had people tell me that, but again, I already knew that. And that's I guess where my question is, you know, for something that you already know to be. And someone comes and says, oh, this is going to happen. And, you know, I'm just like, okay, is this a thank you, Jesus moment? Like, okay, God, this is how I know this is you. And it wasn't just a idea where this, you know, thought popped into my head, and deciphering that, because I think that people experience that. And if they, I guess, is there a difference? You know what I'm saying? Because
it could be, excuse me. I'm sorry. I was just going to say it can be a confirmation also, because you know it. And if this person do not know you, you know what I'm saying? Because that's happened to me.
A prophecy,
okay, go ahead.
What is a prophecy? What is a prophecy?
It's something that is to come.
It's something that's to come, a revealed
mm-hmm.
truth.
Yeah.
It doesn't say anything about a confirmation. With Pharaoh,
but that is Pharaoh
had a dream. He didn't know what it was. It wasn't clear that meant that they were going to have famine in the land and 7 years of famine, 7 years of prosperity. He had a dream about about some fat cows and some skinny cows, about some fat clumps of grain and some skinny ones. And the skinny ones and the thin cows ate up the big ones and the big plumps. What in the world is that about? That was not any. There was nothing clear about that. But it wasn't until Joseph revealed the truth, or the truth of what that dream was about was revealed through Joseph. This is what God is saying in that. So I don't know. I have a hard time just believing that this thing is about a confirmation. You got to send a prophet to confirm something. When we start looking, if you just keep looking at, look at what the prophets did in the Bible, and just see if that lines up with what prophets are doing today, mm-hmm. and then you have your answer. Then you have your answer. Because how can we not take what the prophets of old have done. But still, we're supposed to be using the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
But take everything else.
Mm-mm.
No, I'm going to get me some biblical foundations. Let me see how this prophecy came through with Joseph. Let me see how this prophecy came. Matter of fact, let's go here. This is not a financial prophecy, but it bears just as much truth. In the story of Naaman in Kings, when Naaman was the commander over Syria, right? He was the commander, the colonel, the general. And there was a little girl that spoke and said, the prophet will heal. She spoke that. The prophet will heal you if you go back to Israel, where she was taken from. Long story short, the prophet said, go dip yourself in the river 7 times, and you shall be made whole and healed. He did exactly what he was told to do, because that's what God directed the prophet to say. He dipped, and he liked it the first time he heard it, but he went and did what the prophet said. And that changed everything. That changed the rest of his life. And I'm sure, even though we don't have it written, that it changed a whole bunch of folks that he was responsible for and came in contact with later in the future. Because he was part of a wicked kingdom. He was the general. So why should we accept anything different today, Mama? Why should we accept anything different today? Things are not pinpointed and specific. Somebody says, I see keys, okay. Somebody read a palm and see keys. Somebody looking at a crystal ball can see keys. That don't mean it's from God. But think about what with us. We knew we were about to buy another car come June because we were giving the car to our baby girl while she was in college. If that man would have said, I see a new car, you're going to be getting a new car next month, I'd be like, oh, snap. That's something a little more specific. Peter said, you're going to get it. Where's the specificity in the prophecy? When we read what Joseph gave, that was specific, was it not? And everything he said came true. So here's what I'm saying. Let's not let folks off the hook. Let's not put it on ourselves, Mama, Adia, as if we ain't in the right position. Put it on you. You present this to me. Be specific about what you're talking about. If I'm not seeing these generic prophecies throughout the Bible, why should I listen to you with your generic stuff? I don't understand that. Too many folks have received prophecies that just have not come true. And it makes them question God. It makes them question other men and women of God. And we got to just deal with it, y'all. That's it. I'm done. I guess y'all done too, huh?
Yeah.
Yes.
I want better for folks. I really do. I want folks to understand that when people are in situations where they're wanting more, when some of the situations are just not good, you know, that's an easier time for the devil to work on them. It's easier. It's easier for the person that doesn't have any money to receive a prophecy that the Lord's about to bless you with. You're just going to have so much money, you ain't even going to know what to do. If I'm broke and I ain't got no money, why would I not want to receive that? It doesn't even make sense to say, nah, I'm going to stay broke. I ain't going to see that. That don't even make sense. At least not to me. All right, y'all. It is 9:10. I'm done. Mama, final thoughts,
yes.
Final comments.
Well, I have nothing to say.
All right. Adia?
Well, this was definitely a good opening, and I did learn, you know, just looking at takeaways is, you know, the prophet, the prophecy, and then confirmation, you know, that there are three distinct things. And I think it's important that we understand it so that when there is a financial prophecy that comes, that is spoken, that we understand, you know, what we heard and what it means. And then just adding the other dimension of, you know, you were talking about like a teacher, their role is to teach. And I just think it's important understanding those different roles and aspects and what they consist of, and being able to apply it. And I just think, you know, today, like I said, was definitely a great start. And I look forward to next week. I really do. This was good. And it definitely got me just, you know, thinking and saying, okay, Lord, this is an area that I want to learn more about and continue to grow and not get, you know, stuck. And the last thing that I'll say is that I just remember gentleman, Apostle, came to our church. This was some years ago, and he said, you know, the thought came when you were talking, was that, you know, when the person makes the promise, and in this case, he was talking about God, the word spoken is on the promise keeper or the prophet seer, and I know that's not a word. But it is God's word being spoken through a man or woman of God to an individual. And so I like what you were saying as far as it's going to come to pass. If it is God's true word, it will come to pass. All we have to do is continue to actively wait, because that prophecy is not on us to do anything, but it's on God to do what he says he's going to do, and just believing that that's going to happen. And so I'm really thankful for tonight. I really am.
Amen. Amen. I'm going to leave us with that scripture just as a reminder in Deuteronomy 18. But you may wonder, verse 21, how will we know whether or not a prophecy is from the Lord? If the prophet speaks in the Lord's name, but his prediction does not happen or come true, you will know that the Lord did not give that message. This prophet has spoken without my authority and need not be afraid and need not be feared. I don't know if you picked this up, and I thought I was done, but I don't know if you picked this up, and I just saw it as I read it again. It said that prophet has spoken without my authority and need not be feared. It didn't take his office of being a prophet out the window. His assignment as a prophet was not canceled out. It just said the prophet has spoken without my authority. So you can occupy the office of a prophet and speak without the authority of God. That's deep to me. Because sometimes folk want to believe that if you speak and something doesn't come, if somebody speaks and it doesn't come true, they want to cancel them out. Well, God didn't cancel that person out. He just said they didn't speak with my authority. So, and then at the beginning, he said, how we know whether or not a prophecy is from the Lord. It didn't say how will we know if this person is a prophet or not. So I want everybody to be focusing on the prophecy, not necessarily the prophet. Because if we focus on the prophecy, then you'll be able to receive more readily if you're not focused on the individual. You'll see that God can use anybody to give a prophecy. Can he not?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think so, yes.
Yeah, without a shadow of a doubt. He can use anybody to give a prophecy. See, this thing is about God. This is something that God wants communicated. So who are we to say it can't come from such and such or such and such? You know better than God? God does what he wants to do. You see what I'm saying? So we focus our attention on the prophecy or the prophecies and testing the prophecies, then we don't have to get wrapped around the individual or the prophet. Because truth be told, once you go down that path, then you'll question every gift that God has given to the church.
Yes.
You'll question the pastor. You'll disregard the pastor. You'll disregard the teacher. You'll do that. If you do it on the one, then it's going to be easy for the enemy to allow you and help you to do it on the others. And you'll miss something that God has for you. So with that, this has been interesting. This is not one of those feel-good type of series. But you should have a good feeling walking away saying, you know what, I'm getting a better understanding of how this is working, how this has worked in the Bible, and how this should be working today presently. And so we'll be back next week, next Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We ask for your prayers as we have our first Legacy Conference this Saturday, 2 days from now, which will be in a place called Opelika, Alabama. And then we'll be gearing up for the next one, which will be June 24th down in Sanford, Florida. So we just ask for your prayers. We ask for your support. You can just keep up with everything that we have going on our website. Check out our calendar. You'll see everywhere where we'll be. And our calendar just continues to get busy and gets more full and more full. So, Mama Dia, we are definitely grateful for what God is doing. And we're also very grateful, Adia, to have received our 501c3 designation.
Mm-hmm.
And so, very grateful for that. And so, anybody who decides that they want to sow into the PRF teaching ministry, and that is a requirement for them to sow, now you have it. God has allowed that to be. And so now we will start pursuing those grant opportunities that God is directing us towards, and we're just excited. We're excited about everything that God is doing with this ministry right now. So much, so much, so much to share, but I can't share it right now. I gotta let you go. Gotta let you go. So with that, God bless y'all. We love you. We'll let you know how the conference went next week. And also, we want to thank. I know we're running over time, but that's okay. I do want to thank everybody who participated, who allowed themselves to be used last month with our praying for finances. We can say it's a series, but God directed us just to pray for people's finances, and we're just grateful for everybody who participated in that. On Wednesday, Sister Ernestine, Adia, she closed us out, and I encourage everybody to go back and listen to that. And if you go back and listen to it and you receive it, I'm going to believe that God is going to manifest himself through what you receive, because she pressed in. She pressed in for your finances. So it just makes sense that you go and get what she's done for you, and you let God manifest that thing in the natural, what you receive in the spirit. So with that, God bless you. I pray that these allergies just go away tomorrow or by tomorrow, because I know I do not sound as I normally do. But that's okay. We're not going to stop. We're going to still get up there and do what we got to do on Saturday. The enemy is not going to stop us. It's not going to hinder us. It's not going to hold us back. And we're going to do what thus says the Lord. You can count on that. So just be praying for us, y'all, and be praying for all those who will be our guests, not just the attendees, but also the guests who will speak before God's people and participate in the conference as well. Brother Parks, Brother Mark Shelton, Pastor Johnny Freeman, Pastor Curtis Bishop. So we're going to have a good time, and God is going to really do some work in the lives of these men that attend this conference. So With that, God bless y'all. God bless y'all. God bless y'all. We will talk to you next week here on the PRF table, and we will see y'all next week, God willing. God bless.